is. And arche en holongos in Hebrew and Greek, it's picking up the Hebrew word on the wall at the back of the sanctuary here. Bereshit bara Elohim. That Hebrew word means in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, but now in the New Testament, it's all about Jesus Christ, because the Old Testament is all about Jesus Christ. What was hidden in the Old Testament, what was not revealed, has now been revealed. But only the first coming, because there's two comings, and he'll soon, maybe in your lifetime, he will come back. I'm saying that not because anyone knows. Nobody knows the day or the hour, but we know the season. And we're in the last day of world history. World history does not last for millions and billions of years. It only lasts for 7,000 years, period. That's what the Bible says, and I totally believe that. So all of the stuff that you learn in school, a lot of it is totally false. It's not true. But the Bible tells you the truth, and the truth sets you free. So because of that, and the reason what they wanted millions and years and billions of years, used to be 14.5 billion. I don't know why it wasn't 0.6. Never could understand that. When you're dealing in the billions, what's another number? But the point is they made it up. It's just simply an invention. They deliberately, knowingly want something other than the Bible to be the truth. But there is nothing except the Bible that tells you the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So God has made it simple for you. God is love, and he also wants you to love him with all your heart and soul and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. How many know that that's not possible? In other words, you can try all you want to, but it's not going to work. Because Jesus didn't want you to try to do what he commanded you to do. He wanted to do it for you, on your behalf, for your advantage, for your profit, so that you realized you have a God that not only created you, and even though you sinned from Adam and Eve on, even though that's the case, he wants to remove all the sins out of you, so that anything that's in you, as we just communed by taking this supper that he's recommended, he wants to not only forgive you all your sins, he wants to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, all of it. And he wants to then perfect you in love. That's something you don't do. You just believe that by faith. You don't have to see it. Everything that we believe is unseen, except the Bible. The Bible is the book that he left us. Those are the words of Jesus and the words of the Old Testament. All of those words are written down for our instruction. They teach you how to live day by day. And the answer is one word, faith. You have to have faith in God, that though you don't see him, you don't understand him, you don't even know what it's all about, the more you read, the more you find yourself wanting to submit to God's authority, that he knows what he's doing, and that's why you can't do it, because there's sin in you. As long as the sin is in you, you can't do it. But when he comes back again, you'll have a new body and a new soul. New heart, new body, new soul. So all of that will come the moment he comes, and there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. So prior to that, he wants you now to live a holy life. No one else can. No one else can. Why? Because it comes by faith. It doesn't come by works. You cannot work your way into heaven. You cannot merit his approval. Why? Because he's already approved of you. Anyone that he created, precious. Perfect, just like Hoyt. Precious and perfect. And so in God's sight. Now you don't see anything because you see what everyone else sees. But we don't go by what sight. We go by our spiritual sight, because we've been born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit every day, and then led by the Spirit in all that you do and say. And because of that, we're a new creation. We're no longer Jew. We're no longer Gentile. The whole world is divided into those two groups as far as God's concerned. You are now a new creation, new of a different kind than anything else that's natural on this earth. So, because you've been born of from above, which means of heaven, you're born of God. You're actually created by, and now you're being redeemed by, and now you'll be perfected by the Lord God Himself. It's personal. It's not an abstraction. It's not a concept. It's not something that you can sort out with your brain. Your brain cannot reach heaven. Your emotions cannot reach heaven. Your whole psychology cannot reach heaven. Anything that God has equipped you with is inadequate. That's why God did that deliberately, so that you'd have to depend on Him. So let me say something common. Marriage doesn't work. I'll say it again, because you probably didn't understand. That marriage doesn't work without God. But it works with God, but otherwise it doesn't. And so that's why there are divorces and homosexual and all that kind of stuff and transvestor and so on. All that stuff is to try to nip away at what the Bible says is don't. Don't do anything. Let God be God. Just let God be God. If God wants to change you, He's going to do it all on His own. Without your help, without your assistance, without your cooperation, He'll just do it. That's what faith is. It sees into the unknown world, to a world up in heaven, which you've never seen. Nobody's ever been to heaven. I know people have stories about that, but regardless of that, nobody's ever been there, and it's not possible. So everything here, no matter what you've heard, everything here is based on the Word of God, not people's testimony. Whether that's sincere or not sincere, God will judge. But I believe that God has made it so simple. All you have to do is, and you know the answer to that, Teresa, all you have to do is
believe. I know it's nothing, and I'm writing that down right now. God is to change you,
yeah.
You have to do nothing.
Yeah.
I was writing that right now.
Yeah, right.
Can hardly believe it.
I knew you knew that. So I asked you. But because we are so eager to do good works and please God and do all that, how can you please someone who's already pleased? Right?
You can't.
So don't even bother. And so Christianity is taught by many people as do good works. Catholics teach it. Jews teach it. Muslims teach it. Everybody teaches it. Hindus and Buddhists and so on and so forth. Witchcraft people. Everyone teaches, hey, while you're in this world, try to behave yourself. How many know that that's impossible?
Amen. That's right.
You cannot do that without sinning. And so, I just go back to what I said, is even marriage doesn't work without God. But with God, all things work. Mm-hmm. I can do all things through Christ, but it's through Christ. Who? What? Changes me. Mm-hmm. He's the one living in me. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit, about 1 John, first chapter. And so God wants us to know that He's a loving Father. He's not an angry judge. He's never, ever, ever, ever been an angry judge. He's a loving Father, and that's an example for us. Not an example for you to do. It's just an example that you believe.
That's right.
That I believe God is working through the communion which you just took or anything else that God has said. Anything He says you to do, He'll do it. If he wants you to do it, let Him do it. That's a good father. How many know Hoyt is probably not doing a lot right now to please his family? He's probably not. He even dropped that thing on the floor. I mean, he's not doing a lot, but you know what? He's loved. That's a good parent. Good parents are never angry at their children. They're angry at what they do or what they don't do. But God has never been angry at anybody. Never, ever, ever. We have a good God, a gracious God, a kind God, a forgiving God, a merciful God, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Without that, the world would be in hell today. It already looks like it, if you watch the news and listen to what's going on, that even America, not the great, Trump says, he'll be great later, I guess. But the point is, Unless God builds the house, they that labor, labor in vain. Unless God keeps the city, they that wake up in vain. In other words, they that say they'll make America great, they better have God that said so. Because America is not going to be great. The kingdom of God will be great. And what he's talking about is Americans believe in God. And he knows that the only reason he got elected because of the Christians. And he knew that it's not any other religion that did it. He's probably a really uninformed Christian, probably not mature at all. But boy, he's doing a good job. Why? Because he's just following the rules. He's just doing what kings are supposed to do, presidents are supposed to do, mayors are supposed to do. Anybody, either in the religious realm or in the secular realm, it doesn't matter. We're all subject to a greater power, not only on earth, but greater in heaven. And so we're subject to what Jefferson wrote in our Declaration of Independence from England. He wrote that we're subject to the laws of nature. Everyone is under the natural law, whether you know it or not, or understand it or not, you are. And nature will judge everybody on this hand. This left hand of God, and God never gets confused on this, left hand of God judges the whole world. Right hand of God is only for his church. Did you hear what I just said? So that's a rare group. And his church has to be Christian, and anyone that's going to go to heaven has to know Jesus. There's no other way to know God. That's his only begotten son, and you have to know him. Well, what do you know about him? Well, first of all, you know that he's good. And you know that he's kind. You know that he's forgiving. You know that he's active. And he's busy active in the world right today. So don't worry about the bad people. The bad people cannot hurt you. I'm not talking about what you see. I'm talking about an unseen world. Sooner or later, God will come back, set up the kingdom of God on earth, and you'll see it. When he does, all the bad guys will be done. The minute he does that, the second he comes, the nanosecond, all the bad guys will be out of here. And you have a world that you've never seen before, that only nice people like us, well, probably not like us, probably like Jesus, because Jesus is now remaking us in his image and likeness so that we're able now to love on this earth one another, not expecting anything in return. When you love, like Hoyt, when you love Hoyt, you love him not because he's going to return the favor. How many know that when he's a teenager, he'll probably say no? You're not going to drive. You're only four. You know, you're not driving. And so he'll learn the word no and then learn to use it, because everybody sins and violates their own conscience because they know you're supposed to obey their parents. You're supposed to do what they say. But you can say that as a theory, but in practice, it doesn't work out that way. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All. So if it's all, then everyone is a sin, and that bothers God, but it doesn't bother us. God hates sin. Why? Because he loves us. Because he loves us, he doesn't want sin to rule the world. Doesn't want Satan to rule the world. Doesn't want bad guys to rule the world. And so, since that's God's problem, fret not because of evildoers. So, I don't fret because of the homosexual agenda or transvestites or whatever, all that stuff. It doesn't bother me at all. Why? Because Jesus can't lie. And he said, I will protect you. I will make sure you're protected. So the way America was formed was one nation under God. That's in the pledge that we say. Also in Texas, we have one state under God. Why? Because Santa Anna wanted to force Catholicism. It's not wrong to be a Catholic. It's wrong to be forced to be by the government. Coercion is for this world, but not in the church. Everything in the church is for you to be loved, not to worry about anything else to know that God will take care of you? How many know happy is the man that trusts in the Lord? Yes. Happy is the man. That's true of me. David, is that true of you?
It's true of me.
Yeah, it's true of you. And so since that's true, I don't have to worry about it. Do I feel it all the time? No. Do I understand it? No. Do I want it? Probably not. But it doesn't make any difference. I just do it anyway because I trust God. And I do what he said because I can do it. What can I do? Nothing. Right? So she got that revelation last week, and that's how I pointed her out. Because that's powerful to know God doesn't trust you. Put not your trust in man. Put not your trust in princes. Put not your trust in people, not even pastors, except David and I, Jeff, Danny, so on and so forth. So what's God saying? What he's saying is don't trust anybody. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, soul, and strength. And you trust him to do everything, just like Hoyt will do. And it's perfect. That's how you grow up. Little children aren't nervous about anything. And when you protect them at home, when you take care of them, then they're all right because they don't know any better. And so child raising is real easy, David. It's real easy to raise a child.
Looking forward to it.
You looking forward to it? it's nothing that you do. It's something you just know God has taken care of it. And so the way you're raised is to be a man of God, but you don't do anything about it. You don't help them out. You don't do anything. You just say, when I grow up, I'll love God, but God have to do it without me because I'm not helping him. Have you ever thought of that? Yeah, you have. And so God doesn't want you to help because he knows there's still sin in you. Even if you're nice sometimes, you will think about yourself sometimes, as a matter of fact, 100% of the time. And so God, knowing that, doesn't trust people. So let God be God because he's the only God you have. In fact, I could say this, that there's no actor in the universe except God. Nobody acts in the universe. You think you act, you're not. Don't take a guilt because you did wrong, and don't take pride because you did right, because you didn't do anything. Unless God does it, it won't be done. So that's what a good parent does. And God is a good parent, and he wants everyone here to trust him. People are afraid of that. You know, well, if I asked God the other day and he didn't come through. I mean, no, God does not come through on all your prayers. He's noted for that. I mean, that's like a proverb. And so God doesn't always answer your prayers because he's saying something like this. I love you, but I'm going to postpone that for another time. So he can suspend anytime he wants to. And the whole world is being, you don't know this, I'm going to tell you this. The whole world is being rearranged right now for his coming again. The whole world, Jew from Jew, Gentile from Gentile, Christian from Christian, all of that. It's all being rearranged so that we finally win. The meek shall inherit the earth. The meek, meaning humble yourself. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and heal their land. You want to heal America? That's how. There's no other way. And so Trump is not a miracle worker. In fact, he's having trouble getting anything done. I mean, the more he wants to do, the more it'll be blocked. You have now an implacable party that says, I don't want him to have any success. I love that. Don't you think that's funny? That's funny. Since he's trusting in God and everybody else is, you know, thinking, when are you going to do that? When are you going to do that? And he just smiles away. He's not disturbed by the swamp. He's not disturbed by anybody. And they said, no, we'll make a deal tomorrow and he'll get things done. Why? Because he's a billionaire and he doesn't really need money. He doesn't take a salary. And he never will. Because he said, you know, America gave me all this stuff, and I'm thankful, and I'm going to pay back by being president and do the things presidents are supposed to do. That is to protect you. The only thing in America is the people. Yeah. The only thing in America is people. The only thing in Texas is the people. And that's not true of any other nation. It's not true of any other nation. Individuals, maybe, but not their countries, not their states. So the rest of the world is, trying to hope in something. But you can't hope in man. You can only hope in God. He's the only one that you can hope in. So now I want to read the first chapter, now that I've introduced what I'm going to say. I want to read the first chapter and in just a few verses. Chapter 1, I'm going to begin at verse 14. Chapter 1, verse 14. We know that Jesus is God. In the beginning was the Word, Logos, and Kai ho logos en proston theon, and the Word was toward God. In other words, in the presence of God. That is Jesus. That's talking about Jesus. In the beginning was Jesus. He's Jesus to us, but he got that name later. First, he was just called the Logos, the Word of God. And he'll come back as the Word of God. And this one, in verse 14, it says, And the Word became flesh. So the Word came into being by flesh. What's he saying? Jesus used to be called the Logos in heaven, Son of God. Now he's on the earth, he's called Son of Man. So he's the perfect man and the perfect God. And he is going to reveal God. He is only here not to take care of himself as Son of God. He is the Son of God, and he keeps that. He doesn't just rid it. He keeps that, but he emptied himself of omnipotence and omnipresence and all those things that are attributes of God to come down here to show you what a man would look like. So he became the form of a man. He took on the form of a man, even though he's still God. He took on the form of a man, and people didn't recognize him. Even his own people, the Jewish people, killed him. If you don't understand it, kill it. That was a joke, but probably didn't get a hold of that. Anything you don't understand because, you just don't have understanding. Understanding cannot get you to heaven. So all these school systems and all the education and so on, they're limited because your reason, your mind, your emotions will never get you anywhere. Ever. Because you can't do a good work. They're totally 100% deficient. I have degree after degree after degree. And all of those degrees, fine school, I had Harvard scholarship, I had Yale scholarship. I had all of that because I could go anywhere I wanted in the whole world. I could go to Aberdeen, Scotland, Heidelberg, Germany, and so on because of my grades. But what I learned is it's all nothing. Not because I despise it. It's just that I understand the world's trying to be something for anybody, and you can't do it. And so just relax, do nothing. You're good at that, David. Doing nothing, I mean, you're good, oh, right? Yeah. Even some bad things every once in a while. But God doesn't care. God says, no, I'm not disturbed by that. You know, you be yourself. Just be yourself and let me do it. And if I don't do it, you can bawl me out later. So don't worry, you'll be a mighty man of God. That's powerful. But that's totally by faith. You don't see it today. No one's going to ever see it until it happens. When it happens, you say, there is a God. That's how I became a Christian. That's how you'll become a Christian. Be yourself. What are you? Sinner. What can you accomplish? Nothing. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone here cannot become a Christian. You cannot on your own decide, I think I'll be a Christian. That's amazing. You can't. You're just raised that way, and you don't know whether what you got is good or bad because you don't know anything about anybody else. But as you grew up, you realize, how come? How come going all right for me? There's no answer to that. God knows that there's hope for anybody. The harvest is ripe, the laborers are few. I can go anywhere in this world and have millions of followers. It's easy. It's easy. Why? Because you just preach the Word of God. Don't change it, don't fix it up, just say it as it is. And people then want to hear that message. David, we'll be going to what? Next month, we'll be going to Uganda. Are you going also? Praise God. That'll be powerful. So several of you are going. And you'll see that there's over 10 million people in that country that have to listen to my tapes, my books, my television, my radio. They have to listen because I only ministered to one man in that country, Joel Bukenya. And he came here years ago, 22 years ago. He came here and he said, I only have 7 members to my church. I'm going to quit and be a businessman. I said, no, you're not. He looked at me and said, oh, what are you saying? You're not going to do that. You're going to do what God wants. Well, what do you mean? Because you don't know the gospel. No, I know the gospel, he said. And I said, no one has ever mentored you or brought you under their care. He said, yeah, no, the people have. And I said, not the way I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it. So you are now my disciple. So he now calls me Daddy, even though he's this big and this broad. He calls me Daddy wherever he goes. He said, this is my dad. And I'm white and he's black. But as we said, this is my dad. And why? Because what we've done over there is not only have almost 70 acres of land that they can grow crops on, that they can be totally self-sufficient. They have a clinic, they have schools, they have cows, pigs, chickens, everything there they have to feed themselves 3 square meals today in Africa, which is very rare. And it's good food. It's not GMO'd. It's actually good food. And those kids are happy and healthy, and they were Muslim at one time. Now they're Christians, whatever they were, witchcraft, so on. Now they're all Christians. And there's almost 800 every day that get fed 3 meals a day by this school. They raise their food. The kids all have chores. They take care of this, take care of that, agricultural chores. They also have a trade when they're done with school. Some are cosmeticians, some are mechanics, some are, you know, they can do anything that's practical. And they come from 50 some tribes in the country, and they bring the children all the way. They were raped when they were young because of Joseph Kony, some guy that wanted to then take all the boys, go home and shoot your parents. They drugged them up, shoot your parents. Now their parents are all dead. And all these orphans, the whole country is full of orphans. But we've taken all those orphans from every place in the country, and we've ended then forever. We've ended something. What is it, David? What's the biggest problem in the third world? It's tribalism. Tribalism is the biggest problem. All the violence in the world is because you belong to this group and they belong to that group and so on and so forth. And I hate the people that in the north because they're taught that from the times they're little kids. But now they grew up together when they were 4 and 5 or 3 months. Actually, they have a doctor right now that already graduated in the last 21 years. He's already a doctor. He was brought there at 3 months. And he then now became a doctor. So he's the doctor of that whole community. And now they have 6 communities around there. They all use the clinic. And prices are almost nothing. So they can use it just for a couple of dollars. They have another currency. But that just for a little bit, they can get something that you'd have to go to the hospital and play penny for. They don't do it. So all of those people send their kids to their school. Even the king sends his child to their school because they win all of their athletic contests, whatever they are. They win all of their scholarships, and they're going to take over that nation. So that's why we go there. It's powerful. I think you're going to write a paper on this. Am I right? Yeah. Of just how this thing has progressed. We didn't do anything except what God told us to do. We didn't try to help out or do anything. Just, you know, you need land. This is going to, it's going to cost. 5 years, you got to be self-sufficient. So we're going to buy the land. We're going to buy all the, dig the wells, do everything you need. So this people then are doing, and they don't thank us. They thank God. And we bought all the chairs and tables, everything that they need is supplied from just Dallas-Fort Worth, right here. So that's a powerful thing because we're doing exactly what God said. First of all, they're spiritually mature. You should see them pray. They amaze you. They're like adults in prayer, and they're only 7, 8, 15. They can pray like an adult. It's like, whoa. They're serious because every day they go to the prayer garden, and every day they pray for us. On Thursdays, that's when they pray for everybody here. They pray for our church every Thursday. And when we go there, we just want to see what it is that God hath done, not what we have done, but what God hath done. So they make bricks. They can make 8,000 every evening, and they can build buildings quickly. They're not like here, you have to have licenses and, you know, take out, you know, pay fees and so on and so forth. They just build it. They're out in the country. They just build whatever they want to build. And so they can build things so fast, and all we do is supply the money and then go there and teach. I'm not bragging on that. I'm just simply saying that's what Christians should be doing. We should be meeting the needs of anybody, everybody. But you can't meet all the needs of all the people in the world. But we go to India, we go to China, we go all over the world to bless people. And there's need for everything. The whole world is looking to America to trade with or whatever. But America can't be the policeman for the whole world. And so in fact, this country is the only country in the world that said a certain sin is in the Bible, don't do it. And they're the only ones that stood up and said, we love Donald Trump because he says that's bad and we're going to say it's bad too. And no one else did it. And they said, we don't care. We're going to do what's in the Bible. So that's what we do. We go to Israel. We go everywhere. And it's powerful to live this gospel. Now, if the word became flesh and dwelt among us, the word for dwelt among us is skene in the Greek. Skene means a tent or something mobile. And so God has Jesus take on flesh, so he's just like us, and then he tabernacles, that is, tents among us, which means he actually put on our kind of life so we could see he's our example for how a man should behave. He's a servant. He never wants service. He wants to serve us so that we can serve others. And because of that, he tabernacles among us. And now what he wants to do is show us that wherever he goes, he never revealed himself. Jesus never revealed himself. You'd think he's important because he's throughout the whole Bible. He's not. He said, I came as a man so that I could show you how to live and bless others so that the whole world could be enriched. America started out with that idea. Texas started out with that idea. And it's still possible in the state of Texas, maybe. We have a lot of Christians that are involved in politics. David and I have been involved in politics for, I don't know, 25, 30 years, whatever. State politics, local politics, and so on and so forth. Federal for me. But you can do anything God tells you to do. Why? Because nothing's impossible when you have a God. You can just, if God tells you to do it, just do it. So you can take risks that other people can't take or won't take. You have a God that does what you can't do. You have a God that can say things, and you just got back from Oklahoma, and he was up there, and it was powerful what he saw, and he already came back and gave a little report, but what he saw, and at how many contacts we have. So as Christians, you're the example that the whole world's looking at, see whether you fail or succeed. But there's nothing to it because you don't do anything, right? You do nothing. And since that's the case, when I say do nothing, I don't mean you do nothing. What I mean is you don't do it thinking it's a good work. You do it because God said to do it. It's in the commandment, whatever. Just do it. But don't think that you earned your way to heaven and God is pleased that you did a good work. You didn't do a good work. You'll never do a good work. For all eternity, you won't do a good work. You'll always be in relationship to God. That thing up there says, relationship is not religion. Religion is man doing for God. This one is God doing for man. You have a God that serves you night and day. In fact, he's never done anything for himself. He does everything for you. He has everything. He can speak everything into existence, whatever it is. So you want peace in America? Just do what he said. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and I'll heal their land. If Israel had learned that, there would be no Rome. If Israel learned that, there would be no Greece. There'd be no, you know, Persia. There'd be no Babylon. There'd be nothing. But she never did what God said. So does that mean God's mad? No, God is not mad at Israel. As a matter of fact, there will be a time in history, it's coming soon, could be again in your lifetime, coming soon when he'll judge Israel, but he's not judging her to judge her. He's judging Israel to then pull out of himself those that are holy, those that are happy in the Lord. And they'll come out as priests. They will not come out as kings. He'll come back as a king, and then we will be priest-kings in the world to come, after the order of Melchizedek, it says. Now, this word that I wrote on there in Greek, on the lower right side of the thing, is an interesting word. It really means to reveal. When God was on the earth, he revealed the Father to us. That's all you need to know. All you need to know is what Jesus did. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've heard me, you've heard the Father. If you're with me, you're with the Father. And he revealed in such a way, that word is like an English word, exegesis. So that word means Jesus actually said, it's referring to space, you know, a place. And it's saying, wherever I am, there's light. Wherever I am, there's salt. Wherever I am, there's something beneficial for mankind. You are the benefit of everything God does. He forgives you all your sins. He's not worried about sin. Died for them. They're on the cross. Those sins are examples. There's thousands of them. Don't worry about it. He already died for them. So he wants you to know you're forgiven, and he's never going to take it back. Anytime you say, God, forgive me. Thank you. It's done. And all you can do from that is thank you. All worship is. It's only one word, thank you. Why? Because he has everything. What do you want to do for him? He doesn't want anything. He wants to give everything. He doesn't want to see anything except you're worshiping him, and this is how you do it. Thank you. Because he did everything. He created you. He's redeeming you. He's perfecting you. He's doing everything you need, blessing you, favoring you in every way. And if you know that, happy are you. So I'm always happy, 100% of the time. Why? My wife can do anything she wants to do. I don't care. I'm not moved by anything she does. And I translate it into, she's saying she loves me. I just translate it because that's how God does with me. Yeah. And so I said, actually what you did is wrong, but we're not going to count it. We just discount that. Right? So I love Peggy with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, and I'll never leave her or forsake her, period. Do you all understand what I just said? So you can do that just with words, just with words. You don't have to see it. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to want it. Just do it. And when you do it, he'll multiply it. So when I say to her, Peg, you're the best. And I say that every day. I say, I am so blessed to have you as my wife. You're perfect. I'm not talking about behavior. I'm talking about what God said to say, because that's what he said to me. And so she's perfect in my sight. And because I love her, now I can love Julia and David. And I can love anybody. I'm not hostile to anybody in this world. Because as God has loved me, now I love everybody. I don't care what your philosophy is, what your, you know, your smart, dumb, male, female, young, old, transvestite. I don't care what you are. You are a human being. God died for you, and I'm ready to die for you. That is, not throw my life away, but give up my life that I don't do my agenda because God loves me, and I then bless others. That's it. So I'm blessing that country, and I've blessed many, many countries, because wherever you go, as a matter of fact, they have a television station, and the man over here is a friend of mine, and David's, is a friend of mine, and he owns the whole station, and now they're selling it to another friend of mine in Dallas who's going to buy that station, and all of the people on that station are heard all over, country after country. In Africa, it's the biggest thing in Africa. And Idi Amin, remember the guy that tried to kill everybody? That guy. And then AIDS started there. And then after that, there was Joseph Kony, the bad guy, and he started there. But they're no longer in power. Christians are now in power. And how is that? We just preach the gospel. We don't add to it, don't do anything interesting. We just simply say what it says, do what it says to do, and just trust that faith takes care of it. Faith is what the Reformation is all about. Sola fide, because sola scriptura. Only the scriptures have these words. Any other religion doesn't have them. Only the scripture says, let God do it all. This is the only religion that says, just let God be God. So I'm never worried, I'm never fretful, I'm never angry, I'm never whatever. Why? Because of God. And so I'm happy all the time. I'm completely at peace all the time. Do you remember Jesus saying these words? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And so he said, I'll trade you. I'll exchange the life. I'll exchange my life for yours. In other words, you have to die, I'll die for you. You don't have wisdom, I'll give you wisdom. You need favor, I'll give you favor. So what he's saying is, I'm going to manifest God, not myself. I'm not here on my own account. I'm not here for my own benefit. I'm only here for one reason, people. That's the only reason that he made this world, people. All the animals are here and the plants are here. Everything is here. And I'm going to tell you something. The world will not go away until Jesus comes back. So whatever you imagine, people imagine, well, the world will end up in a horrible place. It's not. Not true. Civilization will actually be handed back to Jesus Christ, and he will hand it to the Father, and it's over. It's going to be glorious for Israel. It's going to be glorious for us. It's going to be glorious because that's what God wants. And the only problem is Israel wasn't Israel, so he had to take it away from them, give us the kingdom, and we haven't done any better because we don't teach what I just taught, is God does it all. So don't try to help him. Just preach and be happy all the time. And so how many say amen? Amen. Yeah, because why? It works. It works in marriage. It works in teaching. It works in anything. You can just be, if you're a teacher that really loves your students, we have a couple of daughters that are teachers, and because they love their students, they pray for them every day, and they always get all the awards and so on and so forth, because you dumb down in school for the most part today. All they want to know is what you feel and think and want. But they want to really learn. And our daughters went to a private school, and they just teach what they were taught there, and they teach them, and they learn, and then they go from this to this. And all of our kids are like that because they want to do what's excellent. My son is that way. He totally wants to do everything excellent. Why? Because God does it. God did it, I'd do it. And so we just simply are like God. Who does that? God. How does God do it? Who cares? I don't even know and care. All I know is whatever's written there, I'm doing it. And so I'm happier today than I've ever been in my life when I used to do what I wanted to do. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to do God's will, God's way, God's everything. So God is great. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Yeah, God is great. So let's have a testimony.
That was great. Keep it up.
Praise God. I'll pay you later. That's good.